Hello, my dear. Are you all tucked in? Tonight, for your bedtime story, I have something a little special. The title of the story is The Ninth Dancing Lady by Reddit user Late Stage Infernalism. This one is quite dark, so please use your best judgment. Are you ready? Let's begin. The snow was falling quite strongly by the time the detective showed up. It looked like the storm would be much worse than had been predicted. I had been expecting the police at some point, if not in the middle of a blizzard. It was logical that they would be here. It wasn't their fault that they did not understand. When I opened the door, I confess I was a bit sharp with my greeting. The woman outside flashed a badge. She tried to hide it, but her jacket was clearly not keeping out the cold, and she shivered. I was mesmerized. I don't remember inviting her inside, but of course I did. She stepped in, and I took her coat, as courtesy demanded. I will admit, I was distracted at the beginning of our conversation. I had ruined 3 canvases through my own failures and had been unable to secure a model for the last and most important piece in my exhibition. The detective raised an eyebrow. Although she did not intend it, I was struck by her aesthetics and the smooth control of her movements. She wore very utilitarian clothes, but she was still quite feminine. I imagined what she would look like in formal wear, and an image formed in my head. Sir, are you listening? The detective was a bit annoyed. She had probably said something important. I apologize, I said, both for the state of my home and for my wandering attention. I've been painting all day, and that consumes all of my attention. I will do better. Would you like some coffee or tea? I do have something stronger if you need to warm up. I could tell that she was about to refuse, but she saw that I was engaging with her, being more open than she had anticipated, and she was still shivering slightly. I get my room's cold, for many reasons. Of course, as long as you don't mind, she said. It's no trouble. I'll be right back, I said before leaving and making us both tea. You may think that I'm the sort of person to slip something in the drink of a guest. I am not. For one thing, it is rude. For another, there are far better ways to incapacitate a model. Oh, thank you, she said, and then added, it's spicy, after tasting it. I hope you like it. I blend it myself out of Ceylon leaves and my own mix of spices. I live well here, as you can see, but I still like to create things with my hands. Enough about me, however. How can I help you, Detective? Well, a girl has gone missing. It may be nothing, but I'm following up with everyone who saw her in the week before she disappeared, she said. She maintained a very professional demeanor, but I saw through it. She was investigating a number of disappearances, and she had better than average reason to suspect me. There was no way the police would ignore me now, and they might make things so uncomfortable that I would need to disappear and change my name again. Hopefully, my series would be complete by then. Oh, I said. I emoted surprise better than most suspects do. Who is it? I work with a lot of women. She gave me a name. I recognized it immediately and made no attempt to hide it. I was surprised that they had noticed her absence so quickly. Yes, I said. She's a model of mine. I have quite a few, but I remember her well. She sat... well, stood for a painting. I don't remember the last date exactly, but I can find out. Actually, I said, as though the idea had just occurred to me, would you like to come back to my studio area? I'll have the record on my laptop there, and you can see the painting. I'm not sure if it matters, but I did finish it recently. Yes, I think that might be very helpful, she said, eager to get a look at the rest of my home. We were still standing in the foyer. My house is not large, but it is well appointed. Paintings, some of them my own, sat on the wood paneling of the walls. Other than that, the rooms were utilitarian, yet tasteful. I led the detective back through a hallway past my library and locked room. In the back of the house, I had a nice, wide-open area. It was even colder here. I had several large windows that looked out into the hills and forests behind my house. They were already covered in a deep white blanket, and the visibility was dropping quickly. My studio was a bit of an artful mess. I had all the paintings of my new series here, most covered with sheets. The latest painting, woefully incomplete, sat in the center of the room. I walked over and uncovered the image of the poor missing girl. It may take a few minutes for me to find my payment records. Feel free to look around, I said, before stepping into a small side office. I knew when she had last been here, but I typed a bit on my keyboard before standing and looking out. The detective didn't notice, which gave me a chance to observe her. People can be so beautiful when they don't know that they're being watched. The detective moved to another canvas and uncovered it. Why are these covered up? She asked, her voice a mixture of suspicion and wonder. It is not arrogant to say I am an excellent painter, perhaps even transcendent in my skill. You would be as well had you centuries to practice. So, naturally, when someone who appreciates art sees them, they are taken aback. Even if they hate my work, they cannot help but be affected by it. I am always grateful to my audience. It is to keep out the light and the dry, cool air. I find that keeping it dark and warm relaxes the girls a bit, I said. The detective stopped looking at the painting to smile wryly at my humor. So, forgive my ignorance, but both of these paintings are very similar. Why is that? She asked. Perhaps she was truly interested and perhaps not. In any case, she was correct. Every painting depicted a very fashionable environment, such as a 19th century ballroom in an English country manor or a 17th century saloon in Paris. And while some of the backgrounds had figures, all attention was on the girl at the center. A different girl in each painting, all wearing era-appropriate clothing, all dancing fluidly. They're part of a series, I replied. A series? The detective asked. I kicked myself for my poor choice of words. Yes, I have a contractual obligation to provide a series of paintings for a gallery downtown. I am almost done, but, well, I'm stuck. My last work is unfinished, I said, gesturing to the work in the center of the room. She could not see the painting itself yet, as it was facing away from her. The detective looked like she wanted to ask me something probing, but lost herself in the painting again. She leaned in, examining the canvas even more closely. The girl's expression had changed from a pleasant smile to a fearful frown. The detective had noticed the disparity, but she blamed her faulty memory. After all, the idea of a painting moving was ridiculous. You've made them so beautiful, the detective said. She was in awe of the girls, as was I before I painted them. They are and remain beautiful. I only painted them as well as I could. Each model demands a different dance and unique costume and environment. I do not consider myself to be a novice, but I will admit that this work has been quite a challenge, I said. This is... How did you do this? The details, the movement, she said, wonder in her voice. She reached out to touch the canvas. I did not try to stop her, but she realized what she was doing and snatched her hand back, looking at me apologetically. Had she gone just a bit further, she might have seen the fabric of the girl's dress shift in response. I simply smiled at her. Feel free to look at any of my paintings if you wish. I've located the records I was looking for. The girl you mentioned was here 2 weeks ago. Almost to the hour, I completed that work you're standing in front of, paid her, and then was finished with her. She was an excellent model, very professional. I made a note that I might make use of her later. I haven't had reason to contact her since then, I explained. As always, I told the truth. We did see the payment in her account. That makes you the last person to see her alive, the detective answered, her attention pulled back to me. She was a beautiful predator, but the painting would not be ignored. She went back to studying the details, but did not stop doing her job. Did you kill her? She asked. I would never kill a woman, especially not a beautiful one, I replied as I moved back to my canvas. I did not hide my smile. Perhaps you will think me slow, but I did not realize until that moment that I had found my 9th and final model. I sat and looked at the detective, memorizing the lines of her body, the curves, as suggested by her professional clothing. It took some imagination, but not much. People have value beyond their appearance, she said, tone a bit on edge. Of course, people have value. We are, however, nearly infinite, and beauty in any form is limited, I said. I guess, she said, not convinced and clearly irritated with my cavalier attitude towards human life. She was a naive idealist. She sighed and moved on to another painting, removing the sheet with more delicacy. She was already treating my work with more respect than she had before. I had my palette by then, and I had started to mix my colors. I started with her hair in the twilight, then the shadowed gray of the snow that I would paint outside of the room. Then I captured the intelligence in her eyes. This was most important, and I liked to take more time with it, but there was no telling when she would catch on to what I was doing, and I didn't want to ruin her in a struggle. Then I'd have to find a new model. You are quite dramatic in this light, I noted as I began to put paint to canvas, at last. Now that I had my subject, I knew exactly how I would paint her. She would still be dancing, but her outfit would not be that of a noble. I put her in a military uniform. I knew she was a veteran of some kind already, but I could not have told you much more than that, so the uniform was quite fictional, but I made sure the colors accented her hair and eyes. Like the others, she danced without a partner, which might have looked strange had she actually been in motion, but here, all eyes would be on her. The room had other men and women in uniform as well, mixed with civilians. I set it in a party, sometime around the early 20th century, perhaps. A time of transition, where there was still quite a bit of Baroque in fashion and style. I dashed a red sash across her chest, and that's when it really started to have an effect. The detective, the physical one in my studio, moaned as I stimulated her nipples in a way that she had never felt before, from well across the room. A skilled hand with a brush is nearly always a skilled hand with a woman. She leaned forward and put her hand on the wall, fighting against the connection forming within her, even if she did not understand it. The sensation let up quickly, and she looked around to see if I had noticed her strange behavior. I pretended to ignore her and continued dabbing paint, forming the corners of the shadowy room. This girl, I recognize her, she said. It was difficult for her to focus. I smirked. Yes, I said, but she turned and finally noticed what I was doing.
Are you painting me?
She asked. I knew her face was quite warm, and by that point her body should be tingling. I also knew that the way I was looking at her was having an effect. She squirmed in place, unable to do what she wanted, which was clearly to touch herself. She was such a needy little thing. It took very little attention from the brush to make her moan again. She stifled it, barely. Unless you object, I would like to paint you as we talk, I said. I'll still answer your questions, give you all the answers you could ever want. And of course, you can search my apartment afterwards or take me to the station. I am happy to be of service, I said. I was playing the part of a naive suspect for her, and just getting those permissions made her smile. She knew that she had me then. She would find evidence that many, if not all, of the girls were here. I was careful and meticulous, but with today's impressive advancements in technology and forensics, there would always be evidence left behind. And that's to say nothing of the paintings themselves. There was a case against me all over the studio walls.
Do you need me to sit still for that? She asked.
Not at all, I answered, going back to work. I prefer my models to move and to be active so I can see them in motion. Sight, sound, touch, and even taste are key elements of my method.
You taste your models?
The detective asked, raising an eyebrow as she uncovered another painting. This one, showing a woman in late middle age, dancing on the deck of an ocean liner in the 1940s. I touched my tongue to my brush. I did not taste pigment, for the way I paint links me to my subject. I tasted her sweat and detected the sweet scent of her arousal. She stumbled this time, putting her hand on the wall for support. Whenever possible, I said, smirking in response. I added a touch of detail between her legs, and the real detective moaned and shifted and leaned back against the wall. She was about to speak, so I did it again, and an undignified squeak escaped her lips as she arched her back involuntarily, her body demanding further contact, which I did not give her. She looked mortified. To her credit, even through the things happening to her body, she finally began to comprehend the truth. She squinted and looked closely at the face of the woman in the painting, then walked back and looked at a different canvas. I stopped toying with her and took a moment and removed a detail from the detective. Unfortunately, it was a rush job. The detective spun around. She'd examined every painting and knew for a fact that they were of the missing women. I smiled just a bit. The look of full realization dawning on her face is a priceless memory, an image I will never forget. She reacted swiftly, reaching into her suit jacket. Put your hands on your head and... She stopped. Her holster was empty. She was stunned for a moment. There was a strange smudge of gunmetal gray on the leather of the holster, as if the weapon had been erased rather than taken away. No, I said. She snapped out of her trance, knelt, and reached for the backup gun in her ankle holster. It, too, was gone. It's all right, I said with some real sympathy.
You did your job. You're a good police officer. You found me when all of your colleagues failed. You can relax and let go now. The detective doubled over in pleasure, falling to the ground as I painted more furiously. When I was focused, I moved swiftly. She was shaking her head and muttering something I couldn't quite hear.
I won't,
she said, attempting to stand when another powerful orgasm took her. She curled into a fetal ball for a moment before her body shook, and she arched her back and lay spread-eagled. I excelled at overstimulation, and yet, after all of that panting, she still was crawling towards me. God, she was exciting. My goodness, I said. Are you still trying to arrest me? You're not just good. You're an excellent police officer.
Did you drug me with something?
She said, between moans. I just laughed. No, I said. I never drug my girls. I get them to model for me and then I paint them.
You're lying. Fuck. I can't think. Why do I want to?
I dashed the last touches of the figure on the canvas. I turned the painting around so she could see it. It was unfinished and I would need to make changes to fit my vision, but the essence of the woman was captured. The image was of the detective, obviously caught in a moment of pleasure, right here in my studio. Her shirt was off and her brassiere was being removed carelessly. Her trousers were thrown behind her. The holsters had once held guns, because what I paint must reflect reality, but now were empty, because reality must reflect what I paint. Her expression was one of abject need. The detective saw her own pleading reflected in the canvas before she realized that now she resembled the painting. She was topless and her arousal was quite visible.
That can't be. Did you paint that right now? How did you undress me?
Yes, while you were looking through the canvases. I didn't have much time, but don't worry. I'll finish you before I finish you, so to speak. I said, laughing at my own joke. And then I will repaint you as I did these others, in a new setting where you can be at ease and happy.
I'm not going to do what you want, you sick animal,
she said, regaining a bit of composure.
Where are they? Where are the women you kidnapped?
I ignored her question. You don't have to do anything you don't want, I said with a friendly smile. Here, I'll sit down on the floor with you and just put my hand out. What you do with it is your choice.
That's not... I can't...
Stop fighting what you want. When was the last time you just gave in to pleasure? I know you want me. I could see it as soon as you entered my studio. Your need has overwhelmed your senses. You can't hope to do anything to me until you've had release. You can always arrest me after you come, detective, I said reasonably. But it didn't matter. I could have been saying anything. She was already detached. My will, expressed through pigment and canvas and light and shadow, dominated hers. She still thought for herself and could even move fairly freely, but her desires belonged to me, and now that she had tasted how good this could be, the want for more overrode all of her carefully preserved morality and deep need for justice. She stayed in place as long as she could before looking at me and biting her lip. I kept holding my hand out, sitting peacefully on the floor. The last resistance crumbled. She wouldn't come again without my help. Ever. touch me. Please.
The detective said, her voice a whisper. It wasn't nearly enough. I wanted her to hear herself break. My hand stayed still. She wouldn't beg yet, but crawled over and took my hand, shoving it against her pussy and grinding on it shamelessly. My, my, you're already soaked. Is no one taking care of you, detective?
Shut up,
she said, but it was barely a whisper between loud moans. This time when she came, it was all due to her own effort. She shook for almost a full minute, and that was quite something to behold. She collapsed on her back, finally sated. For now. She stood, stumbling, her legs unsteady, and I knew she wanted to head towards the door, away from me. She had accepted that there were things that she did not understand happening. She wanted to escape, to come back with others. It wasn't a bad plan, but she wasn't allowed to leave. Her legs carried her elsewhere. The girls in the painting are the actual girls, aren't they? She asked. She walked over to the center of the room. She was trying to resist, but you couldn't tell by looking. She posed, bowed formally, and started dancing. She knew now what was happening, and the panic set in, as it sometimes does. This was not my concern, and I returned my attention to the canvas. I stopped listening when she started insulting me. They weren't very creative, and I needed to finish before she exhausted herself and passed out. First, I gave her the uniform, proud and royal. Then I gave her a nice dress sword. Then I added details like shine to the boots and the candlelight of the room in her eyes. Slowly, almost imperceptibly, she started to fade from the corner of my room and become more real on the canvas.
You have to let me go. You know they won't let you get away with doing this to a cop. You can't think this is real, keeping us all as your prisoners.
She insisted. I cut her off. You're not my prisoner. You're my work. I will keep you and preserve you and sometimes use you for my own pleasure. When you wander into a spider's web alone, you shouldn't act surprised when you cannot leave. I said sharply. I still respected her, of course, but really, her instincts should have kept her from my door, and it was far past time for her to accept her fate.
I'm cold,
she said, fear in her voice, yet under control now. That's just part of the process. Don't worry. When I place a sheet over you, you'll feel as warm as if you were bundled up in your own bed.
My family will miss me,
she said. It was less of a question and more of a realization. Yes, they will, but cheer up. Perhaps they will see you at the exhibition, no? Don't worry. I will take you out at some point to enjoy you. In any case, you should be grateful. Your life of struggle and worry is over. Now you must simply serve me, dance, and be beautiful. There. Done, I said. I stood back from the canvas. Look at you. You're finally where you're meant to be. Everyone who looks at you will fall in love as I have. The detective wasn't going to answer. She couldn't answer. It wasn't fair, but I'd been alive so much longer than her, and while for some, seduction is an art, for me, it is a science. I knew what she wanted, and more importantly, what she needed, and I would continue to use that to my advantage with her. Eventually, she would appreciate me and love me as I loved her. After all, she had no choice. Word to the wise, detective, I said, speaking low, knowing that she could hear me. You possess an extraordinarily strong will. You may be able to move slightly in your canvas to shift when no one is looking, or perhaps even make a tiny bit of noise. This is fine, but Should you try to attract the attention of my audience or try to escape when I release you, it will not be you that suffers. If you truly misbehave, I will light someone else's canvas on fire and make you watch them perish. It is just as violent and painful as being burned alive, save that I can control how long it takes. I can even do a painting where one of my girls is on fire forever, never allowed to pass away, flesh forever charring and screams frozen in the air, and I will make sure you are witness to it. But I'll never hurt you that way, detective. That might play into your heroic martyr complex. No, any mistakes you make will draw punishment down upon the most innocent of the women here. I took a long last look at her before nodding and covering her with a sheet. My paint dries very quickly, and it does not do well to expose my models to the light more than necessary. It gives them ideas. I returned to my office. Now that the final work was completed, I had to do the difficult work of determining where each painting would display in the gallery. I knew this would take a long time. I do not love one of my subjects more than any other. They are all beautiful in my sight. Well, my dear, what did you think of that particular bedtime story? Sends a chill right down your spine, doesn't it? Are you cold? Well, I suppose you'll just have to bundle even tighter in your sheets, huh? Good night, my dear. And don't let the bed bugs bite.